Yeah, I must say that those burgers were gorgeous, weren't they? And the sausages, wow. But forget the salad. I didn't bother looking at that. It looked colourful, but we'll keep to the burgers and the sausages, I think. Anyway, it's great to see you all. And I must say, what a colourful spread you all are. It's really good to be here. I'm going to introduce Derek and Joyce to you in just a moment or so. I'll tell you a quick story on the mobile phone. I went to a very, very solemn, serious funeral in Whitby. I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago now, and it was thick in snow. It was really cold. I'd got a big coat on, and my wife went as well, and I think she actually regretted she'd gone, because it was virtually all men there. It was a minister from Whitby who died, and it was his funeral. Anyway, we were sitting there, and a very, very well-known Scottish preacher was preaching the funeral message when suddenly my phone went off. And I was so warmly padded, I just couldn't find the phone. And I was sort of, my wife was sitting next to me looking straight ahead as if I'm nothing to do with this person next to me. And I was desperately looking. And then this serious preacher, if I told you his name, many of you would know him, he sort of glowered at me. And I was desperately trying to do something. Anyway, eventually, of course, I found it and switched it off, to my great relief. My only sort of moment of tempering my embarrassment was that the ringtone at that time was Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring. I felt so sanctified, because 3 weeks earlier, if it had rung then, I'd got a different ringtone. It was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I really would have been in trouble. Anyway, there. So switch off your phone, I think, is the message. Now, in a moment, I'm going to interview, and then we're going to look together at something I think will be raised by Joyce from the Bible. But I'll leave the Bible reading till the end, and then you'll see it all. And we'll just gather things together from the story by looking at the Bible. And I notice some very young faces here. It's lovely to see you, and I'm going to try and make it suitable so that even those who are very young... No, I wasn't looking at you guys, sorry. Dream on. And... even the young ones will be able to understand it, all right? And just to say, I've brought a bookstall. Now, the church always has a bookstall, but I like to bring books around with me, and they're incredibly cheap if you go to the right ones. All the ones on the far table and some of the ones on that side are only £1 each. Now, you can get them on Amazon, some of them at £7.99, and they're here for £1. Yeah, thank you. Oh, you're such a hard-nosed lot down here. Anyway, and then all the others are greatly reduced in price. So we don't make any money at all from any of the books. And it's not trying to get money out of you. It's just trying to get out good resources. And just to say, if you haven't brought any money or whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't have to buy anything. It's just there as a resource. Let me mention very quickly two or three things. Now, John Phillips, he's the one, by the way, who's written the little booklet for this week called Life Stories. And wow, it's superb. I saw him somewhere. I'm looking for a bald head, but there are a lot to look at. There are a load over that side. Where is John? No, I can't see him. He's not here at the moment. Anyway, so is he here or is he just hiding? Anyway, he wrote this little book called Can I Forgive Myself? And I think you'll find it very relevant from the story that we hear. It is excellent. I think it was originally written for use in prisons, but it's suitable for anybody. And it's only £1, highly recommended. And if you find a bald-headed man who answers to the name John at the end, I'm sure he'll sign it for you. There you are. So that's that one. Then something I wrote a few years ago entitled Grill a Christian. You've got to say it slowly, otherwise it sounds like gorilla Christian. And I try to answer 65 questions that people who are not Christians ask to people who are Christians. You know, why does God allow suffering to continue? Who made God? Is the Bible full of contradictions? Does science contradict the Bible, etc.? Gorilla Christian. And if you've got questions, you might well find them answered in here. Or if you're the person who's trying to answer questions, you don't know quite how to attempt, this might give you a clue. Again, it's just £1. Then, I think again, from the stories we're going to hear tonight, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. Did Jesus die and be buried and then bodily rise from the dead? Now, Christians believe that he did, but are we fooling ourselves? What is the evidence? Now, this is a book by a solicitor, Val Grieve, and it's called Your Verdict on the Empty Tomb. And like a lawyer would, he goes through the evidence for the resurrection, but he treats us, the reader, as if we're the jury. And in the end says, now look, the verdict is yours. So if you're somebody who thinks, oh, Christians are just deluding themselves, I think you'd find this very helpful. It's just a pound. And then one more, slightly more expensive book. It's less than half price, but it is £10. And it's for children. So, girls, if your parents love you, they'll probably buy you one of these. All right. It's called The Action Bible. I need to open it up and you see this sort of cartoon. It's all the way through like that, telling the Bible story in this sort of cartoon fashion. And I found kids absolutely love this. So my friend down there, Tubbs, who's expecting quads in a week or so, this is what you need for your children, okay? So The Action Bible. And you might have a look at that later. Had I better stop while the going's good? It's a great pleasure. I've never met them. Well, I have, but I don't remember particularly finding out about them. Derek and Joyce, once you hear what job they do, we may have to bolt the doors, but you'll see later on. Let's give them a very warm welcome to come and join me. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, these days, I think I better ask which one's Derek and which one's Joyce. No.
Yes.
But yes. You're not the man who wrote Can I Forgive Myself, are you?
No.
No, okay,
no, I'm not,
fine.
Roger. No, you're okay.
It's great to have you. Let's find out what jobs you did do. Let's start at the deep end. Joyce.
In the police. We met at the training school 48 years ago.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
to be... Members of the police force?
Metropolitan Police Force, yes.
Right, okay. And what sort of work did you do, Joyce?
Oh, in those days it was completely different because the women were, I say different to the men, it wasn't the equality. So I was dealing with young persons and families, and that was I was actually specialised into that.
Okay, so. And Derek?
Well, I was sent to Marylebone Lane, right at the centre of... London, Oxford Street, 19 years of age, catching glimpses of myself in shop windows as I walked up and down Oxford High Street. I couldn't believe I was a fully fledged, fully trained policeman. And I worked there for 3 years, then had 10 years on a mobile policing unit called the Special Patrol Group, which people would probably know now as the Territorial Support Group, working all over London during the riots and the bombing campaigns of the IRA, as it was then in the 70s and 80s, and football rallies and what have you. And then the last half of my service, I transferred to the Marine Unit, working on the River Thames.
Oh, and, wow, so you're just on speedboats going up and down all day.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It and, sounds wonderful.
And to get paid for it as
I
well,
know,
and,
well.
And get the commission that's paid for all the diesel. So that was...
tremendous. That was and which of all the television programmes about policing is the most accurate? Is it Dixon or Doc Green?
For me, I think I'll answer for me. For me personally, when I joined in the late 60s, early 70s, it's Life on Mars, the way that DCI, Gene Hunt, and they treat the police women, and that's the one that speaks of the police force to
all
me.
All right.
I think the one that I actually could relate to, and this might sound a bit strange for those of you that are TV addicts, but The Thin Blue Line with Rowan Atkinson. That's a fantastic character, and I've worked with people like that.
They've all been your juniors, of course. All right, great. Now, let's find out a little bit more. Tell us about your background, Joyce. Did you grow up in a loving home, caring home, Christian home?
Oh, gosh, not a Christian home. My father was a policeman as well.
Oh, right,
and,
okay.
And I grew up in a very happy household with two elder brothers and elder sister. I was sport rotten. Used to go to Sunday school. I think it was so my parents could get some peace on a Sunday. We weren't churchgoers as such, weddings, funerals and what have you. Yes, I had a very happy childhood, went to a good school and... carried on with church till I was about 14. Then I met boys stopped going to church. Yes,
right,
but I had a really happy childhood.
So you say you stopped going to church. If I'd met you, say, at the age of 16, 17, 18, and said, do you believe in God? What would you have said?
I would have said that I believed in God all the time growing up, thinking that there was just the one God that was for every religion. And I thought I was a Christian because I was born in a Christian country, that I was good. and that I'd gone to Sunday school and got confirmed.
So. And Derek, what about you, your background?
Brought up to go to Sunday school, as you right. were in those days. Gave up on God at the age of 11.
Why?
I just thought it was a fabrication, really. It didn't seem to... I mean, my understanding of who God was pretty banal, really. I wasn't sure if there was anything there. Everybody was saying science has disproved it all. The police service, everything I saw in the police service, my experience... I got arrested twice whilst I was in the job, once for robbery, which I didn't commit, I hasten to add, and right. another time I was accused along with six other officers for the unlawful killing of a demonstrator at the Southall riots, which, as you can imagine, when you're married, raising a family, brings a lot of things to the fore that you hoped you'd never have to experience. And so any sense of there being a God and seeing all the bad things that were going on around me and having it happen to yourself kind of left you wondering all the time, what's life all about, really?
Okay, so Joyce, let's come back to you. You say at the age of 14 you met boys, and really the next few years were going to be quite turbulent, weren't they, because of boys. And
yes.
Tell us a little about what happened.
I got pregnant, got married.
When you say you got pregnant, how old were you?
I was 18.
Right.
And had my daughter when I was 19, so it sounds better. But no, I was pregnant, and in those days you did get married. It was a sort of thing that you did, you went along. And I thought I was in love. And anyway, after 3 years, we decided that it was not for us, that it was wrong, and got divorced after 3 years. So
you agreed with that decision, did you?
We both agreed with the decision.
So you... Were you left holding the baby, as it were?
I was left holding the baby. And she's not a baby now. She's 56 this year.
Right, okay. All right. And and then what, as life unfolded?
Lots of things happened. I got involved with somebody that was truly wrong and had an abortion. And then it was a case of my mother... My sister died when she was 34, leaving four children, and my mother and I and my daughter were given a council flat to live nearby them so that we could help my brother-in-law with the children. And when he met somebody else, it was a case of what do I do with my life? So I decided then to join the police force, and that's where I met this young man. Well, he was young then.
And how... And this year. And how... Is he still young to you even today?
Yes.
I had hair then, Roger.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay,
yeah, lots
right.
of, lot different.
We got married on my 28th birthday when he was 20. So
oh, right,
I,
okay.
I there,
we do have phrases, but we won't go into that, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you were clearly aware that if you were marrying Joyce, there was a little child as well to look after and other things had happened. You knew all this?
Yeah, it was... I mean, you'd have to meet her to... know her. She's my daughter, and I cannot, we couldn't have any other children, by the way, but so Anne just was that kind of character. She just loved me and accepted me right from the word go, and we've become very, very close over the years. So she made it very easy for us, I have to say. She was great and has been and still is, thankfully. We only live 10 minutes from each other, so we're still...
And if I was... You know, it's not for me to be nosy, but was the marriage good? Was it working well between you?
Initially. And then Derek got on the money go-round for work, doing overtime, drinking a lot. We both had affairs that we didn't know anything about. We didn't know we were having affairs.
Each of us didn't.
You didn't know the other one was.
Obviously, we didn't... I did know I was having an affair.
Yeah. I was going to say, we thought... The drink must have been a big
issue.
Yeah,
it's a big issue. Exactly, yeah.
We didn't
know. All right, so you're having an affair. Did you feel guilty about that? Did you feel, hey, this isn't right, I'm cheating on my husband or cheating on my wife?
No.
Derek?
No. I think to try and I was averaging 100 hours a month overtime every month. All for good reasons. You want your daughter to go to a good school, you want a nice home, you want all the toys which you think are going to satisfy you, and they don't, of course. You learn that with hindsight. So I'm out of the home, so it was very, very easy for me to enter into affairs with other women without Joyce even being the slightest bit aware of what was going on.
And for this isn't condoning it or making it, with me it was completely that I felt neglected and found satisfaction and love, as you wanted to call it, feelings elsewhere.
Hmm. So, were you continuing in the police force or?
Yes. By then I was working in the CID office, and it was the '70s, and it wasn't a good. Looking, hindsight's a very good thing, but it wasn't a good.
And
thing.
In all the times of turbulence, was there ever from either of you any thought about God, ever sort of crying out to God for help or anything like that?
Well, our daughter became a Christian when she was 14, and we saw her. We thought, this is great. She's involved in church youth club, she's with nice people, and there was a little sort of what's it all about in the back, but not very big, but what's it that she's got. And what I wanted was the peace that my daughter had. I was addicted to Valium for 8 years. I don't want to go into big life stories, but well, I do, because that's why I'm here.
Yes. But, we do.
But I had glandular fever, and in those days, Valium was the wonder drug of the 70s. So, and they didn't know it was addictive, so I was addicted to that for eight years. And I had a Christian doctor who was absolutely... Hello?
It's only because you're playing with your microphone.
I had a Christian doctor who was wonderful, and my daughter had this. I relied on her more and more and saw something in her.
So, Derek, do you remember then your daughter coming home and saying, I've become a Christian?
Well, yes, I remember the vicar coming round, actually, when she wanted to be confirmed, and, sitting there talking to us, and, I said, yeah, great. And I was really pleased for her. I thought, this is a great thing. If that's what you need, lovey, you go ahead. You're getting meeting good friends and all that sort of stuff. So I was more than happy with that. It wasn't for me, of course, because I was a man. I can cope, and at that time, so I thought. And so I was quite happy with that, Roger. That she would be confirmed in the church, and bless her heart, she definitely had that something that you could not put your finger on.
Now, if I know teenage girls who have become Christians, they would want you to do what they've done, trust the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And probably the person they spoke to most was Mum rather than Dad to start with.
It wasn't so much the telling me about Jesus, which it was her demeanour, her peace. There was something different. And I've got to say, if she told me about Jesus, I wasn't listening.
Because
I was a Christian, I wasn't hearing,
Okay, yeah. But eventually, what, did she get you to church or what?
Well, eventually, for me, Anne, I was about 43 by then, and Anne said that the vicar at her church was doing a Christian basics course, a very, very short course, and she said, please come along to it, Mum. And I thought, yeah, I'd go. By then, I'd been doing yoga, I'd been doing this, I'd had hypnotherapy, you name it. I'd been trying everything to what was missing in my life. And I went along, and for the very first time, I heard that Jesus was God on earth. That had never resonated with me one iota. And the vicar that was leading the course was absolutely lovely. He didn't make you feel little. Any questions you had, he answered, and he was looking at the Bible all the time. And he actually, when he read the bit of the Bible about the temple curtain...
Yes, explain that, what it just briefly... that's probably what I'll speak
on. Okay, I'm not going to give you Bible verse and chapter because it's in all the Gospels. But he was saying about the temple curtain, which it was about a hand's width thick, and it was about 30 or 40 foot high. And as Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain was split from top to bottom. And it resonated with me that if it split from the top, no man could do that, only God could. And I suddenly realized that by Jesus dying on the cross for my sins, that I had access to the Father through Jesus Christ. I didn't need priests, I didn't need vicars, I was forgiven. I could go straight to God and have a relationship with him. So that's what it meant to me.
So suddenly you're really understanding the heart of the gospel, that God has come into the world with the purpose of going to the cross and dying, that you might come to know God.
Yeah. And I didn't truly know what commitment was at that moment. It wasn't a blinding flash. I went on the course twice, it was to sort of get it, is this sure and is this right? And then at the end there was just no contest.
So when you say there was no contest, what did you do?
What did I do? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour.
And what does that mean? Did you pray to... What happened?
There was a prayer that you could say, but it's not a format and it's got to be from the heart. But what I actually realised, that the things I've done, abortions, adultery, you know, and numerous other things, that I was a sinner. But my biggest sin was just not turning to God in times and just rebelling against Him. So I repented, which wasn't just saying sorry, it was asking Him to change my life, to put it back the right way so that I could go in a different direction and follow Him. And I repented and asked Him to come into my life and be my Lord and Saviour. And that's what I did. As I say, no blinding flash, no, I couldn't give you a day, date, time, place. It was something that happened.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what was your reaction to this, Derek?
Well, it was... what happened, actually, was I noticed a change in Joyce. Our marriage had kind of got back to some semblance of order by this time. Joyce had come into a relationship with Christ. I noticed the difference. No more of my cooked meals going in the bin or in the dog. And she didn't get all upset and excited about different things.
Were they salad?
There was something about her, and of course my daughter, I saw it in her too, because she was living at home at the time. It was something I couldn't put my finger on it. I realise now as a Christian it's God's Spirit, but I didn't know that at the time. And neither of them tried to beat me up with the Bible or come at me with scriptures and all that sort of stuff. There was just a change which was lasting. And it kind of got me a little bit concerned because I'm thinking, I wonder what she's got herself into. Perhaps she's involved in some cult or something like that. And I did have a lot of questions. A young woman had thrown a baby in a river. And the guys in the boat were saying, there is definitely no God. And I'm standing there thinking, no, there isn't. It can't be. It's impossible. Nothing. This sort of thing would not happen. That child just thrown in the river like trash. And a culmination of all of those sorts of things. And then Joyce said to me, she said, well, you've got loads of questions. She said, you can go along and speak to this guy. He loves a good argument. And I thought to myself, well, I suppose, actually, I could actually do that. So I said, if you'll come with me, because I wouldn't have admitted it then, but I'll admit it now, I would have been too embarrassed to go on my own. Mm. So she came along and did the course again for the third time. Just to keep me company.
No, just to make sure.
Yes.
But part of it, Roger, was I was that arrogant. I thought, what can this man possibly know about grief and aggravation?
Because of what you'd seen as a police officer.
So I actually went along... in my heart of hearts, thinking I'm going to be able to put him right on a few things, and I'm going to have a vehicle whereby I can express that. And I ended up giving my life to Christ.
Did he answer your questions, or did you find you didn't have any questions, or what?
He was a very gracious man, and I think back on some of the things I said, Roger, which were really embarrassing. I embarrassed myself terribly on reflection. But he just soaked it all up, and he would come back and say, that's a very interesting viewpoint, Derek, but have you thought about this? He was very gentle, very calm, and I was the one that was getting angry and worked up. And then for me, he just pointed to the Bible and said, look, Christ is God who came amongst us. Nobody had ever told me that before. And so I spent 2 years from that evening onwards trying to disprove that very fact. And, of course, the resurrection for me was the big thing.
Because did you look at the evidence for the resurrection, Derek?
Completely. I read just about anything I could get my hands on. Just looking at the facts of proper historical, archaeological facts all surrounding this guy who came back from the dead physically and who says that I could actually get to know him. And that blew my mind. As a policeman, that sort of thing. Once you fish them out the river, they don't get up and walk around again 3 days after they've gone in. This guy did. Christ did. Physically. and now I know him.
Wow. How long ago was that?
37. I was age 37, so that's...
30 years ago.
30 years ago. Yes.
Were you a 1950 baby?
I was, actually.
Definitely.
Do you know, it was a good year.
Yeah.
Anyway. Derek, then, as a Christian, were you still working on the River Thames?
Yeah, very much.
So you still saw some terrible things?
Yeah.
Did you see them differently? Did you, you know, the next time you fished somebody out of the river, sorry, but did you think, where's God in all of this?
No, not at all. I was totally convinced about the whole concept of Christ coming back for the dead, dying for my sin. The difference it made for me as a police officer was to be able to pray for my colleagues in those circumstances and pray for, I know it's the body, but I'd still pray for them and especially for the families. Now, I wouldn't stand there, you know, you don't do that in a practical sense, but I would actually pray over the body quietly to myself and also when dealing and identifying with the relatives and that type of thing, and praying for them. Unfortunately, many of them were not Christians, so you can't go in with big boots and come in and start saying you've got...
Police normally do have big boots, but we know what you mean, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's an easy calling, is it, as a Christian to be a police officer?
I think what I wasn't prepared for was some of my colleagues who wouldn't work with me.
Because
I'd now become a Christian, which from their perspective, a lot of them felt threatened, quite frankly. When I say threatened, in that sense, they're thinking, this guy's now going to tell the truth on everything. Now, I don't want to make it sound as if all police officers do is lie, but they thought I'd gone a bit weird. I was considered to be a holy roller in the canteen. They take the mickey out of you a little bit and that type of thing. And a lot of them said, oh, don't worry, give him 6 months, he'll be up to his old tricks again, down the pub and all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, there was a lot of element of that. Hopefully, prayerfully, I still had very good friends within the police service. There were those who would be more than happy to trust you.
But you don't regret having become a Christian, even if it was a bit tough at times.
Oh, Roger, I cannot imagine what my life would have been like without him.
Joyce, I don't want to be insensitive, but there you are, you've become a Christian. Do you ever look back on the child you could have had but didn't have?
Two,
okay. And, I don't know, beat yourself up over it or just wonder what might have been?
I was party to that decision
well. On the second one.
It was not just...
Because I was going to have a brain-damaged child. And,
okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, do I beat myself up on it? Initially, I did. You cannot be without regret and a little bit of what if. That's life. You just think at times. But do I beat myself up? I don't know where people stand on babies, but I am sure in my heart where that unborn child is at peace. So that's...
You believe they've gone to be with the Lord.
Oh, yes. I believe that totally. So I'm quite at peace about that unborn child is in the best place it could ever be in. Mm. And forgiveness, I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm forgiven. So I'm not going to beat myself up. As I say, I have regrets. Would I go through it again as a Christian? I think I would have strength not to have done it, but that's all what ifs and hypothetical. But knowing that Jesus forgave me and died on the cross for my sins, then I've got to accept that 100% that he has forgiven me. And I still get things wrong. I still do things that don't please him, perhaps not such in what people think major ways as I did. But, I try not to gossip, but sometimes you're chatting and, greedy. I love food and gluttony, and there's so many things you shouldn't be doing. I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved.
Wonderful. So you've been a Christian couple, married for over 30 years. Has that been 30 years of total bliss, no arguments, no disagreement?
No, we've got one motto, and you won't find this in the Bible, actually, but it's got a kind of biblical principle behind it, and let me share it with you, and it's this. If at first you don't succeed, do it the way the wife first told you. No, but...
And it's not in the Bible.
But...
We don't have blazing rows. We still... No. He annoys me at times. I mean, I love him dearly. I wouldn't be without him. But there's days, to be quite honest, when I... For whether I'm tired or whatever, I don't like him for a day. You know, for goodness sake, you're a pain, you know.
Is this one of those days or not? Yeah.
Could be later. No, but I'm being truthful. I mean, yes. We're not perfect. The only day we'll be perfect is when we're in heaven with the Lord, when we'll be perfect, and we're not perfect now. But we pray as much as we can together, which is a great help in our married life. Mm. And as we've been forgiven, I know it gets to sound trite and banal, but as we've been forgiven, we sort of think, oh, well, shut up, you know, you've been forgiven, forgive him, sort of thing. And also what goes on, this sounds very, very holy, but if I'm having a go at Derek, how am I glorifying God in this? You know, I'm being nasty. I'm not really being very nice.
So, do you need to forgive Joyce as well, Derek, do you think?
Totally. But I think, all joking aside, that having had a married life without Christ being the centre of it and with Christ being the centre of it, 1,000% different. Totally different marriage.
Amazing.
Totally different concept, because the difference is now I feel Joyce is my priority after Jesus Christ, and she feels I'm her priority. So it's a different mindset, which just came about by that relationship.
That's wonderful. And you say Jesus Christ is number one. Well, we know that because you were going out for a curry tonight, but you chose to come here instead.
we're
very grateful.
Yeah, my brother-in-law was going to make us a curry, but we put him off.
With his
blessing.
Yeah. Let me just ask you this. When the policeman was murdered outside the Houses of Parliament a couple of months ago, what was your reaction as, you know, ex-officers?
Well, just with one of great sadness at the sort of state that we've come to in this country, where you can't even just go about your ordinary daily life now, and some of the most horrific things which you wouldn't even believe was possible, but is going to happen. But so the first thing was the sadness for that police officer. My first thought actually was, I do pray and hope that he did know Christ. And my other thoughts, certainly as we were talking about it afterwards, that the confidence of knowing that Christ is working even through all that mess, which enables us to cope each and every day with hope for each and every day.
And you're both retired now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Don't say so gleefully.
Yes, it is. Yeah, right. It's great.
And lastly, you've already talked about heaven a little bit. Your confidence of going to heaven is not based on you having been good, because clearly you're saying you haven't been, but it's based on your trust in what Jesus has done.
Exactly, yes. If Jesus hadn't died for me on the cross and forgiven my sins, and if I'm not in a relationship with him, then heaven is sort of, what is heaven, you know? But I have the complete and utter assurance that I'm going to heaven the day I die.
Wonderful. It's a real privilege to have interviewed you. That was super. Let's show our appreciation, shall we? Thank you very much.
Thank you.